Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Health Wealth Podcast. We've got another great episode coming up for you this week. I'm joined by a guest this week, Harvey Irwin, who's going to be speaking to me. We're going to talk about his journey and the transformation he's been through and how it's affected his mindset and his health. So, first of all, Harvey, thank you for your time and welcome to the show.
Yes, sir, for sure. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely a pleasure. And so give us a little background on yourself and take us back to where your stories started.
Yeah, so I'm 35, from Oklahoma, United States. Last January, I weighed 335 plus pounds. And as of today, I'm down right at 230 pounds.
Awesome.
I did get down to 225 by the end of the year, which was my goal. And but that was a little bit manipulated. I fasted a little bit and did a little bit extra increased cardio and stuff like that, just so I could say that I hit that goal. But I've still got some weight to lose. But that's where I'm at right now. And it was just realizing how miserable that I felt. You know, I say that people don't make a change until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain or fear of change. And it finally got to that point where I was just tired of being so overweight, so miserable. You know, it bled into everything else in my life, my family, my work. It just I was not a good person. I mean, I was a good person. I didn't treat people badly, but internally, I was not in a good place.
Yeah, was it a build up? Was there one specific moment that kind of began your journey of turning that around, or was it just kind of a build up and you just reached a point where you were like, I've got to change?
Yeah, it was a buildup. You know, I'd tried to lose weight before. When I was 25 or 26, my dad is a type 2 diabetic. I was talking to him and my stepmom about some issues that I was having. And she was like, we should test your blood sugar. So my dad got out his meter and it just said high. What? That doesn't make any sense. So we checked it on another one and it said error, you know, something like that. And we got to reading the paperwork, you know, that comes with those meters. And I think one of them was like anything over 350, it wouldn't read. And one of them was over 500, it wouldn't read. So my blood sugar was just through the roof. And so I scheduled a doctor's appointment the next morning, went to the doctor and even fasted. I think my blood sugar was like 275. So my A1C was over 12.
Wow.
For people that don't know, a normal A1C is below 5.3, I think it is. So I was well over double the normal range. So the doctor obviously got pretty concerned. I immediately put me on insulin, two different types of insulin actually, and a couple of different metformin and maybe one other pill. And so I got left the doctor, you know, of course, not knowing anything about it. I immediately started taking the medicine just because that's what we do, right? We expect to go to the doctor and be told what to do with our best interests in mind. Sometimes I think, as we've learned, that's not always the case. So I did a deep dive into blood sugars and what those medicines were doing. And I actually, you know, he got me set up with a dietitian. And it was supposed to be 30 minutes with a dietitian and then 30 minutes with a another lady that kind of taught you how you have to take care of yourself as a diabetic. You know, she even went to detail on like how you cut your fingernails and your toenails and things like that. But it ended up being where I just argued with that dietitian for the entire hour because she was telling me what I needed to eat because of the dosage of insulin I was taking. And I said, well, why don't I just not take the insulin and not eat the food that makes me take the insulin and cancel it out? Oh, you can't do that. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, if something is causing something else, why not just remove the initial cause instead of, you know, because she was like, well, I'm concerned you're not eating enough carbs and you're going to have, you know, your blood sugar is going to get too low. And I said, oh, well, then I'll just not take the insulin, you know. And she was like, oh, no, that, you can't do that. So it was just an hour long argument on, you know, you have to take the insulin. It just like completely blew her mind that I would think outside of the box of, well, I just take the shot twice a day and then I can eat whatever I want, you know. So I started losing some weight then. And I think I was on the insulin for 2 or 3 weeks. And then I was able to remove, I haven't taken any medication for it since for treating diabetes. As long as I get some exercise in and even conscientious, you know, it's not like I have to eat a carb-free diet or anything like that. My blood sugars usually stay between 70 and 120, even after post meal. So I think I've been able to manage that, but kind of went into that to answer your original question. So I'd lost some weight and then you kind of, okay, I'm doing good. So I can not be as disciplined with it. And then a year later, you realize that you haven't exercised, you haven't watched what you're eating. You just fall right back into the same habits that you were in before. And reason being for that is because a lot of people don't change their mindset. But my wedding anniversary is in January. So last year we went and just kind of a quick weekend trip. And we happened to run into my uncle while we were out having dinner. My wife took a couple pictures of us, which I was very uncomfortable in pictures. Like, there's very few pictures of me prior to about a year ago. And she showed it to me and I was just like, I can't keep doing this. Like, how I'm projecting myself to the world, I just can't keep doing this. And I've previously seen, you know, a lot of TikToks and stuff like that on how important it is to take care of your body, because I really didn't see it being that important. You know, I was always under the mindset that as long as you work hard and you do your job, you're basically earning an excuse to not to kind of let your body go. You know, I have a pretty high stress job, so I always was like, oh, that's enough. I can use that as a crutch for not going to the gym because I'm so mentally exhausted by the end of the day, blah, blah, blah. But I saw that picture and it had been building up, and it finally just got to that point of like, okay, this, I'm going to make a change, and I'm not ever going to let myself get back to this point.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant that you did make that change, because some people never reach that point. So that, you know, the fact that you did that and took that first step, the first step is the hardest, isn't it? Once you start, you make those changes. And this, the diabetes thing, it kind of blows my mind, but kind of doesn't, because I know that that's expected. We've done we did a whole podcast on diabetes. It's just crazy that they're, you know, like you said, it's so simple. Just you're taking all the insulin so you can eat the carbs, but if you just don't eat the carbs, you don't need it. It's yeah, honestly ridiculous.
And I want to clarify, that's type 2 diabetes.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
obviously type 1 is a totally different animal.
Yeah.
So I just want to make that clarification before we get a bunch of attacks on, I have type 1 diabetic, I have to take the insulin. Yes.
Yeah.
If you're type 1, I have very little knowledge on it. And I really don't even know why they lump those two in together.
Yeah, because they're actually, you know, very different conditions, really. So it is weird. It is confusing because people assume they're similar, but they're not really. They're opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
It is confusing with that. So yeah, that's a fair point to make. It's just type two we're talking about.
Are you struggling to lose weight? Have you tried all of the fad diets with no success? This is the one reason that you keep failing gaining the weight back. You're doing a diet instead of a lifestyle. Nobody keeps up a diet long term. Eventually, it becomes too much and you go back to your old eating ways and the weight comes back on. This is where our 12-week fat loss plan is completely different. This is not a diet. It's a 12-week journey of learning how to implement simple, healthy, and sustainable eating habits that allow you to maintain your fat loss for the long term. Diets are based on the principle of eat less, move more, which are the two main ingredients of increasing hunger. And in the long term, hunger will always win and your diet will fail. We have a very different approach. There is zero calorie counting involved. You do not need to restrict the amount of food you eat. You need to eat the right foods. The reason our method does not fail is because we're not starving your body. We give the body everything it needs to be satiated, to be healthy, and to increase our metabolic rate, which all contributes to easy, consistent weight loss. Sound too good to be true? Fortunately, we have plenty of testimonials on our website from clients who've already experienced how well this works. What do you get with the 12-week fat loss plan? First off, you get an introductory call with an expert health coach. You get personalized nutrition and exercise plans, and you get 4 weekly check-in calls to keep you on track. 24/7 support on WhatsApp, and most of all, you get the knowledge to put in place these new habits and lifestyle that are going to improve your health and weight for the rest of your life. Get signed up today by clicking the link below or in the description.
So when you, what was your, obviously you said about you'd let your physical health go until you reached that point. What was your mental state like as well? Was it having a toll on your mental state?
Absolutely. I was very on edge all the time, unhappy. I was very angry. So, and what you feel internally, you project externally. So anything that, how you feel is how you treat people around you. So I would snap at people, especially my family. I had very little patience for people, very little compassion, because I was miserable. And then obviously, as far as enjoying being around people, like, I just didn't. Any type of sales meetings or business, just networking events, types like things like that, like, I avoided because I just didn't like being around people. And that also projects on the people that you're around, because they think, oh, why is this guy not like me? Like, what's the problem with me? Well, it's not them. It's I'm not happy. So I can't pretend to be happy, especially for any extended period of time. You know, you can be cordial, but after a certain amount of time, you're going to, that who you are is going to come out.
Yeah, no, I agree. It does. It rubs off. And then obviously that can start to then rub off onto the people around you. As you know, you influence the people around you, and the people around you influence you as well. So it can be a vicious cycle. And when you reached that point, you were like, you know what, I've got to make a change. What were some of the first things that you did in order to make those changes?
Yeah. So the first thing I did was I started going to the gym and getting on the elliptical for about 30 minutes, 30 to 35 minutes, and just watching what I ate, not getting super dialed in on, you know, macros or counting calories or anything like that. It was just, okay, I'm just going to eat smaller portions, you know, rather than eating 2 plates at dinner and then sometime between dinner and bedtime having another snack. It was, I'll just eat 1 plate of dinner and then I'm not going to have a snack before bed. So I did that for about 2-3 months. And then I started doing kickboxing 3 times a week. And I just kind of progressed from there. You know, I started going longer on the elliptical and doing the kickboxing, and then I shortened the time on the elliptical, but was running the same distance, so I was going faster. And then I added resistance training in, and then I started really getting dialed in on what I was eating, you know, how different macronutrients affect you and things like that. So it just, it becomes, and that's what's so so fun about it, really, is especially if you're a results-driven person, is there's always something like the next goal. You know, there's not, it's not like, oh, once you hit this point, you're satisfied with it, and then it's like, oh, well, that's over with. It's always like, hey, I wonder if I can have this look, or I wonder if I can get to this weight, and how do I get to look like this or have that weight? And you're going to try things, and you're, it's not going to work, or you're going to hit certain plateaus, and you know, you're going to have to change something up, or whatever the case may be. So it's certainly not easy, but it's a never ending goal.
Yeah. I think it's with things like that, it's the journey is the enjoyment, isn't it? Like you said,
right.
Goals are just stepping stones along the way, along your journey. Not if people have a goal as an end of their journey, that's when they end up going backwards, isn't it?
Right.
It's having it as a journey. And I mean, you did it perfectly. Just with how you started with those little changes, that's the best way. You know, you get, especially, well, we're a couple months into the year now, but you get to January and people think, well, I've got to change my whole life first of January. And, you know, they don't keep it up because it's too much. Just little changes is how you go. And as you said, you start to experiment and try different things. And, you know, you just started with a bit of exercise and then you just began to change a little bit of your food. And that's the way to do it. And you experiment and find what works for you. And that's how you do it. And obviously that's what you did for you. So that's brilliant. That's the way I advise people to do it. So you started doing that. You started seeing results. And, you know, how long did it start for results start to come for you? Because obviously that builds confidence as well.
Yeah, the results started coming pretty quick. And, you know, I can go back and look. I took kind of progress photos of not myself that I kind of regret not taking now. I started taking them in about 15-pound increments. So, you know, once I lost about every 15, 20 pounds, I would take some pictures. But the result, when you're as big as I was, like I said, I weighed at least 335. I have weighed up to 350 pounds in my life. You're going to see results fairly quickly, just with any change that you make. And you can do it exercise-wise or diet, preferably both, obviously. But you have a lot of extra fat. And you're probably more than likely very sedentary and you're overeating by quite a bit. So the initial results will come fairly quickly. It's what happens when you're a month into it, or maybe more than a month. But say you lost 15 pounds. And then you go a week or two and it kind of stalls out. That's the point where I had gotten in the past where I would lose a few pounds and then it would stall out. And there's a few different contributing factors to that. But regardless of why, it happens. And I think that's where a lot of people kind of lose that motivation. Like, oh, I'm doing all this work. You know, why did it start off so easy, but now I'm not losing the weight that I was? And I think that's part of, like you said, is the goal orientated mindset rather than process, you know, enjoying the process mindset.
Yeah.
Comes into play.
Yeah, I think so. And like you said, it doesn't matter what you're trying to do, there will be plateaus, as you said, and periods where everything's coming easy, and then periods where nothing seems to happen. And you know, that's where you have to keep going or maybe tweak it. You know, you could be like, okay, what other dial can I turn to increase it and improve it? But like you said, a lot of people do, because those easy goals, easy wins at first, they give you such a positive feedback. And then, as you said, when people lose that, sometimes that's when they give up and they don't see it through. And if they just push through another week, that would probably be good enough. And then they would start seeing the results again and they would they'd carry on. And it's yeah, that everyone gets that no matter what you're doing. So you've got to push through that, or as we said, try something new, try something else if you're plateauing.
So yeah, that's where, because it is so easy, and then they hit that first hurdle, and because they haven't built any skill set of understanding that it's not always easy, they quit. And that's where the mindset change has to come into play. One of the coaches that I worked with over the last few months, something like 80% of people that lose weight gain it, you know, either gain it all back or even additional within the first 12 months, because they just go on this all out crash diet. And once they get there, like, oh yeah, I did it. And then they go right back to their old habits and go right back to their old weight, or like I said, even a higher weight.
Yeah, exactly. And it's normally those people that are, you know, crash dieting, like we talked about, the people who try and change everything at once and be like, well, I'll just do this for a month and get to my goal weight and then that's it. Right. But what you need to do is change your lifestyle and start to build habits, which is exactly what it sounds like you did. You started to build these habits and slow and gradual and make the changes. That's what it's about, isn't it? It's habits over just the instant result. If you can't see yourself doing that, the diet, exercise, lifestyle, if you can't see yourself doing that for at least a year or more, then there's no point even starting it, because it won't last. It's got to be something that can last.
Right. Yeah. And you, like I said, you do eventually enjoy it. It really did take me a long time to enjoy going to the gym. And I think what's gotten me more excited about it is you start to see things. Like I'm 35. I just turned 35 at the end of January, and I'm starting to see some abs come through, and I've never seen that before. So you start to see things that, like, you really didn't ever, you always kind of wanted a little bit. You're like, oh, that'd be cool to have, but you didn't see it being a possibility. So then once you do start to see that, then that's when you really start to get excited and enjoy going. You know, like, I enjoy going to the gym now. I enjoy pushing myself. And you kind of turn it into a game of, you know, how can I push myself just a little bit further this time and the next time and the next time. And then, you know, that's kind of just building upon those base habits. You know, people want to change. I keep hearing this quote a lot, is people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. Yeah. And I think you can quantify that in any time range. You know, people overestimate what they can do in a month and then underestimate what they can do in a year, even. You know, so however you can say it in multiple different ways. It's like you said, people could go in and they could lose 20 pounds in a month. But you could lose 110 pounds like I did in a year if you start off by, you know, it may have taken me 2 months to lose that first 20 pounds. But I was building the process of becoming better all the way around. It wasn't just a weight-related goal. It was a total body transformation goal and a mindset shift.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the, you know, the story of the tortoise and the hare as well, isn't it? That,
right.
You know, these people, they go for the quick, fast, get it done. But, you know, it's the tortoise that wins out. It's the slow, you know, in the financial world, they say compounding is the, you know, the seventh or eighth wonder of the world, whatever it is. You know, and that applies to everything else. You know, these little things compound. You know, you just start building these little habits. And like you said, okay, the first month you might lose less weight than them. Maybe even by the end of the second month, you're only just catching them up. But like you said, at the end of the year, look where you are, and, you know, they're back. They've probably gained more than that 20 pounds they lost. So it's about I always try to encourage people to think long term. I think in today's society as well, we're very short-sighted, aren't we? Everything's like now. I need instant satisfaction. You know, if a page on the internet takes more than 2 seconds to load, you're fuming. If your video buffers, what's going on? Like, you know, that's the society we live in, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, and it's a great innovation that we can do everything so quickly, but there's also some negatives that we expect everything to happen so quickly and easily.
Yeah.
You know, we have very little struggle, especially in, you know, first world countries. We have very few, and you could probably argue we really don't have any struggles for the most part, you know, comparatively to people in other countries or even people in this country a few hundred years ago. So it not only is it happens right away, it happens without much effort put into it. So, and this correlates into everything in life, whether it be, you know, health related, financially, even relationships. It's not something that's going to be, you're not going to have a huge skill set in it in a week's time. You have to have the time under task to develop the skill set of whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's true with anything, isn't it? You know, for Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, they didn't train for 1 week and be the best player in the world. You know, my 9 to 5, I'm a carpenter. I can't turn up for 1 week and be an expert carpenter. It takes years to develop. And it's the same with all these things. Good things take time, and you have to put time into them. When you started seeing these improvements and you started building these habits, going back to the kind of the mental side and the mindset side, what were there some sort of conscious habits that you were doing to help to improve your mindset and to try and shift that attitude to more of a positive one?
Yeah, so that's, you know, I could talk for hours on how to change your mindset, but I think a lot of the times people get too discouraged if they miss a step, they beat themselves up too bad. And really changing my outlook of I don't lose, I either win or I learn what doesn't work. So if you get lax on your diet for a week, which you probably already know this, but it's just reaffirming it. But if you lax on your diet for a week and you gain a few pounds back, don't say, oh, I'm terrible, I suck, this is not going to work for me. Just say, okay, obviously, I've just reaffirmed that eating like trash for a week is not going to get me to my goals. So if I really have those goals, and if that is truly what I want, then I have to, you know, follow the diet or the, you know, I don't even like using the word diet because it has such a short-term connotation. It's more of a lifestyle and, you know, eating habits. But, you know, I have to have these eating habits to get where I want to be. And then there's certain things that, you know, what are your core values, you know, if you want to say it that way, or what are my standards, or what are my non-negotiables? You know, you have a core set of things that are important to you, and that's how you live, that's how you operate. So it just becomes like it's not a struggle to go to the gym, it's not a struggle to eat right. That's just who I am now. So if you can change your mindset into, I'm going to try and do this, you know, because with that, you're either interested or you're dedicated. And if you're just interested, you're going to do it when it's convenient. And if you're dedicated, you're going to do it no matter what. So what do you really want out of your life? And once you can nail that down, you just, you know, reverse engineer the steps to get there.
Nowadays, struggling with health issues has become so common that we've started to accept it as an inevitable part of aging. 95% of the world's population today suffer with some kind of health issue, and over a third of all people have 5 or more health conditions. Now, despite the prevalence, this is not normal. The majority of the main culprits, like diabetes, hypertension, cancer, heart disease, autoimmune and bowel conditions, they were pretty much unheard of just 100 years ago. Now, with all the technology and medical advances we've made, shouldn't our health be getting better, not worse? 100 years ago, we didn't have the medications we have access to now, yet health was much better. How can this be? The answer is that these are all lifestyle and metabolic conditions. They're caused by our diet, environment, medications, and how we're living our lives. Yes, it all sounds pretty bleak, but there is some good news. These conditions are all reversible. By changing the very things that caused them, we can reverse these health conditions and get back to being healthy. Now, to achieve this, we use a natural, holistic approach to optimize every area of your life, from your diet, your sleep, exercise, environment, and more. By doing this, we avoid the need for any medications that always come with harmful side effects. In fact, medical negligence is the third highest cause of death worldwide, and a lot of the current health epidemic is conditions that are caused by the very medicines that are supposed to be helping. There's a steady pattern of the more medications you take, the sicker you get, and all they do is cover up the symptoms but never deal with the actual cause. We like to concentrate on root cause healing, getting to the bottom of what's causing your health issues and rectifying that first. Now, if you've spent years in the medical system, your health steadily declining, getting frustrated, and on more and more medications, maybe it's time for a change. Why not try a different approach and see what we can do for you? The majority of medications you'll put on are for life, and you just have to accept it. You do not need us for life. Our approach is one of education. We teach you how to take control of your health on your own, so you never need to rely on any other person or medication again. The long-term solution is not us, it's you. For more information, visit our website, healthwealthuk.com, where you can book a free discovery call with an expert health coach. And let's get optimal together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the, you said there's the same argument of the discipline and motivation, isn't it? You know, people, they use motivation and motivation comes and goes. Discipline is just every day you get up and you do it. And I think that that's how you begin to enjoy things like the gym, because it becomes a habit. So you're going to the gym regardless. You know you're going to the gym. So now you might as well start enjoying it because you're going to go. You're not going for enjoyment. So, you know, you're going regardless. So why not enjoy it? And I think another thing that helps is that as you start to make these changes and you start to feel better physically and you start to feel better mentally, and it starts to shift your attitude towards yourself. And I think that as you start to love yourself more, you know, appreciate yourself more, you want to do those things that benefit yourself. And I know you said that, you know, you had low self-confidence, you didn't like to have photos of you. So how did you, you know, see that changing as you began to improve?
In every way conceivable. So I've started sharing on Instagram, you know, progress photos. And so I got to, when I was at my heaviest weight, I didn't even like to take a shower because I was so uncomfortable with my shirt off. And that's really something that even as a kid, I was one of those kids that we call husky here in America. They're just thicker. Yeah, you're just built that way, right? But even as a kid, I wasn't skinny. So I still was not super comfortable with my shirt off. But it really got to a point where I hated seeing myself in the mirror. And when I was in the shower was about the only time I ever had my shirt off. I mean, ever. So being able to walk around the house without your shirt on and not, and I'm still like, I'm not a finished product. I'm not where I want to be, but being able to just walk around without the shirt on or walk outside the house even without a shirt on is like that. The confidence that you have in yourself with those type of changes just makes you feel like you can literally do anything.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great feeling. And it's just, again, we talked before about stuff compounding, and it's the same, you know, you start to improve your physical health, and that starts to compound into your mental health. And then you start to feel better about yourself and you feel more confident. And then that encourages you to continue doing the other things and to improve it even more. And it just, you know, you begin to become more fulfilled and happy and all of these things, and they just compound. So it's so important for people just to just do a little bit at a time. You don't have to make big changes. Like, you know, you said some of the things I say to people at first, if I work with people and things, I can just, one of the first things could just be like, just no snacking, just for the first week, just don't snack, eat all your food in meals. Don't even change what you eat. Just don't snack. And I think starting small should not be looked down on. I feel that sometimes people think, well, what's the point of making a change that small? But obviously that's where you start and that's where you compound, isn't it? And that's, you know, you're a perfect example of where you've got to from just those small changes.
Right. Yeah. You know, the saying of you eat an elephant one bite at a time. you know, if you go up to it thinking I've got to swallow this thing whole, well, there's just so many negatives that are tied into that, that it's, especially if you haven't built, you don't have any positive habits, it's just overwhelming. So the small wins, and I tell people now, you know, I'll ask them, because they'll come up to me, people that have seen me in the gym or, you know, message me on Instagram or whatever. I'll tell people now, you know, I ask them, how many steps do you get in a day? I'm like, oh, I don't know, maybe 2,000 or 3,000. I'm like, okay, let's double that.
Yeah.
And then I just want you to track what you eat. Don't even change what you eat. I just want you to track it, because that's going to be one of the most eye-opening experiences for 99% of the people, because I still didn't feel and don't feel like I ate terribly when I was as big as I was. So I tell people, I worked with a guy at the time, you know, he was maybe around 6 foot, 175 pounds, you know, pretty skinny. And for lunch every day, he would go down to the fast food place and get a double cheeseburger, a large fry, a giant, you know, sometimes even milkshake. And that's what he ate for lunch every day. And I eat a turkey sandwich or, you know, something leftovers from the night before. So, yes, I was certainly overeating. But if you don't track what you're eating, it's so easy to eat, you know, 500, 1,000, or even more calories than what you should be eating, and you don't even realize it, because there's so many things that we hear are healthy that, well, we just take that, you know, take what we've been told and don't actually look into it for ourselves. And, oh, I can eat as much of that as I want, and it's good for me. Well, anything is bad for you if you overindulge in it. So, but yeah, just to get started is just small wins stack up so quickly.
Yeah.
And then once you get the ball rolling, I was reading a book here recently that said, a rocket uses like 96 or 95% of its fuel reserves in the first 4 feet of taking off. So it's got the entire rest of its journey to go up into space and come back down on 4% of the fuel that it's got left. So it's going to take the most energy to get started. But once you get it started, then you're just, you just keep it rolling. And that's so much easier to do.
Yeah, I agree. Especially once you get those first habits in place and you can start to build on them. I think that's a great point you made about being aware of what we eat. Because I think in today's society, again, because everything's so accessible and there's always food and these snacks, and we can just eat, so many people, like you said, if you said to someone, right, write down everything you ate for the last couple of days, it would be wildly inaccurate. Mm-hmm. You know, you go back hundreds of years and we had, you know, thousands of years, you had to work hard to get your food and you'd only eat that. Now it's so easy that is a big one. Just becoming aware can be enough to make people think, okay, right, well, I better stop this and stop that. So that is a great place to start from that. Because I think most people aren't aware of what we're actually eating.
Yep. Yeah, and there's so many processed foods and things like that that we have in our diet nowadays that a very small portion. I love peanut butter. Like it's something that I could sit down and eat, probably eat a jar of it. Which obviously I've had to cut back on significantly. Because I had never even looked. But the other day I noticed we had a jar of peanut butter in the cabinet, and I looked at it. It's 200 calories per tablespoon. You know how easy it is to eat a tablespoon of peanut butter? There's like, I don't even know, and it's, normal size jar. There's like 50 servings in it. So I think we're not cognizant of what we're putting in our mouths because and peanut butter, we hear it's not a junk food necessarily, especially there's, natural peanut butters and even the big box brands, they'll start labeling something as all natural, or another trick that they like to use is no sugar added. And they try things like that to make you think that, oh, this is healthy, I can eat as much as I want of it. But if you flip that label around and you realize, even if it is healthy, and you're eating 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day, and all you do is sit at a desk from 9 to 5, and then you go home and sit on the couch and watch TV till 10 or 11 o'clock. You don't drink any water. You don't move at all. You're getting 6 to 7 hours of terrible sleep a night. You're just not going to be healthy. You're going to be overweight. There's no way around it.
Absolutely, I agree. There's unfortunately a lot of missing, I would say misinformation, but a lot of it is just marketing. I mean, at the end of the day, food companies, they want to make money, don't they? So they want to sell their
Absolutely.
products. And a lot of it is marketing, and there's been a lot of stuff marketed as healthy that's not. So it is difficult for people to navigate it. Because I think there's a lot of people out there that think they're eating reasonably healthy and they wonder why they're struggling. And it's because the foods that have been sold as healthy aren't. And so, that's one of the things we try and do is get the message out there. So when it comes to the food, what run us through a bit of what you started to change in your diet, and maybe, what your diet roughly looks like now. What did you change on the food side?
Yeah, so I, like I said, initially I just cut back on portion size. And then I started getting into being a little bit more mindful of calories and started limiting myself to about 2,500 calories a day. And I really didn't know, I knew that there was carbs, fats, and proteins, but I didn't know anything about how your diet should be made up of those. So I went a few months with eating like that, and then started doing more studying, more research into it, and understanding how important protein intake is. And then, of course, I know you're a big proponent of, I believe, carnivore or keto style eating, which is great if you can get everyone around you to buy into that same system. I haven't been able to do that yet, and it hasn't been worth the discussion of this is how we are all eating now, and we'll just kind of phrase it that way. I understand that eating habit, or that eating style, probably more than anything. I prefer that style, but my current diet is I eat about 175 to 185 grams of protein. I do somewhere between 200 and 225 grams of carbs and then 45 grams of fats. So kind of that bodybuilder style diet. But it's just like I said, it was just very incremental. Like first you just remove some things, and then you start to put a limit on it, and then you dive into, how important protein is, especially if you want to, you see a lot of people that lose weight, especially if they lose it really quickly, and they really don't look very healthy. And a lot of it is because not only has they cut their calories down by a lot, they're not getting any protein intake. So yes, they've shed a lot of fat, but they've also lost any muscle mass that they had. And if you're overweight, especially, you know, 50 to 100 pounds overweight, you probably have a decent amount of muscle underneath your fat because you're moving around a decent amount of weight. But if you don't maintain that while you're losing weight, you just lose it along with your fat. So doing, like I said, you know, looking into how important the protein was. But right now I only eat about 2,000 calories a day because I'm really trying to get the last little bit of fat off, which is definitely a struggle. Yeah. I'm hungry a lot. So anybody that listens to this, do not start off eating like that because you will quit very quickly. Yeah. And so you kind of, like we talked about, built up those habits of I've gamified it now, right? Like I enjoy restricting myself, but I enjoy seeing how far I can go with it, you know, how long I can be consistent with it. You know, there was a guy I was talking to, he posted he's cut all the way down and now he's, you know, bulking back up, and he posted a giant greasy cheeseburger and french fries and stuff earlier. I was like, oh man, I don't even remember the last time I had something like that. He was like, this is the first time I've eaten anything like this. He said, I'm going to pay for it, you know, later. And that's another thing, that a mindset change that has helped me, and I would think would help other people, is say you've been doing it for, you know, a couple months and maybe the scale does flatten out. Well, go out and have that cheat meal. Go out and eat like crap and then see how you feel the next day. And it may not even take the next day. It may be later that evening. Mm-hmm. Like, because once you realize how much better you feel from eating correctly and getting exercise in, you don't want to go back to that feeling of you're bloated, you're heavy, you're low energy. It's just a very kind of gray, blah feeling. Yeah. Sometimes people need to remind themselves of how that feels.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when it's a gradual thing where you're improving, your normal was feeling bloated and horrible. But then as your normal shifts gradually, you forget that you felt like that. Exactly. And you think this is not. And then that one meal reminds you, oh, wow, that's how I used to feel every day. I'm not going back to that. Like you said, it's a positive reinforcement.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We've all felt that. And the thing is, as well, is that sometimes you should, you know, allow yourself to have a meal. Like, you know, you're out with family and friends and you don't want to be having strict choices. Allow yourself a meal. And, you know, I think when you try to be too strict is when you end up failing and you put yourself under too much. So I think allow yourself that, because then that gets that out of your system. It's a one-off thing. And also you'll probably afterwards, the way you'll feel will actually encourage you to go straight back to it and to stick to it. But I think that, as you said there, things like that are probably after you've built those habits. Don't be doing that straight away, because then it's easy to snap back into it. You know, I can easily, you know, just sit with my family and we're doing something and I'll have a treat and I know that next day I'm just back to normal, as if it never happened. So yeah, I think that's something that you can definitely implement.
Yeah, for sure. And another thing, like you said, after you've built those habits, another thing to keep in mind is you didn't get extremely overweight from one meal.
Yeah.
Or really, you know, even a week of not eating properly. You did that over an extended period of time. You know, the holidays are a big thing, especially Thanksgiving for myself, my family. Thanksgiving is like the big meal related holiday. Yeah. And, you know, I was really focused on getting down to that 225 by the end of the year. I was really not dreading it, but I was like, oh man, this is going to be hard. And I just went into it. I ate. I was still conscientious. I definitely overate, but I was still selective of how I overate, right? You know, I knew let's maybe eat a little bit more proteins and things like that and not overload on all the pies and cakes and, you know, cookies and stuff after the main meal. So, but then it was like, okay, it's just this one day. I'm really not doing any extended damage or anything like that to my diet. it's one day, and then the next day we're going to get right back into, you know, the eating correctly. And I think I even went to the gym that morning, because I think the gyms were open till, you know, like 10 o'clock or so. So I got up, and it wasn't like I went in there and, you know, smashed a super heavy workout. I think I just got on the treadmill. Yeah. It was just something to get a little bit more movement in and just stay in that habit of getting up and going to the gym.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. And once you've got those habits ingrained, like you say, it's just a lifestyle, like you said earlier about diet as well. They've, you know, the word diet is technically correct, but as you say, it just, you know, it has such a negative connotation with people now because they assume fad diets and crash diets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not that, it's a lifestyle. And, you know, interesting that you bring up about, you know, festivities or, you know, celebrations in the year, because once you start being more conscious, you start eating healthy, you realize that every single celebration is just centered around basically sugar and bad food. You know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Valentine's, Easter, everything. It's just, you go in the shops, it's sweets everywhere, chocolates. Everything is just based on sugar, and you just have to kind of block that out, and you start to realize why the health of everyone is going so bad, because it's like we're obsessed with it.
Yeah, and it's even gotten to be where nowadays they're a holiday ahead on, you know, stocking shelves. You know, used to, it would be like a few weeks before Halloween, they would have Halloween candy out. Well, now, before Halloween's even done, they're having Thanksgiving, you know, and Black Friday's the next day. They have Black Friday and Thanksgiving. And then before we even get to Thanksgiving, it's Christmas and, you know, New Year's related stuff. And then the 1st of January, they're already putting out Valentine's Day stuff. And then before Valentine's, you know, so there's just, they're pushing it so hard. And there's obviously reasons why. That's how they make their money. You know, I think me and you talked about, I think it was me and you, we talked about the CEO or whoever he was of Kellogg's coming out and pushing cereal for dinner. It's like, not only are we pushing people to eat poorly, we're, you know, he's sitting up there almost excited that people are doing so poor financially. Like, hey, yeah, it sucks that you're not making any money right now because our economy is in the tank. But not only that, I'm going to try and manipulate you into eating extremely poorly and enjoying it. You know, it's just like, what have we gotten ourselves into?
Yeah. Oh, it's a sad state. It really is. It's the nutritional, you know, world, and the food business has, you know, completely gone to the dogs, and it's just money. It's the same with every industry, you know, it's money talks. Sure. And, you know, they want to make money, and that's, you know, that's how they do it. Cheap, rubbish, unhealthy food is where they make the most money. Like, good, real, healthy food doesn't have good profit margins. And so, you know,
it's harder to gather, it's harder to make, you know, all the above. So I certainly understand it, but I think at the end of the day, everyone has a certain ethical responsibility to, especially at, you know, at levels like that, they have ethical responsibility to the world. Yeah. And they're building up some karmic debt that sooner or later they're going to have to pay for.
Absolutely. And just the way that he was so smug in that interview
was celebrating that fact.
It wasn't even like he had any sympathy for the people struggling. He was like, this is great. People are struggling and we're going to make more money.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not good. So are there any things that you have in your daily routines now on the mindset side? Like, are there things that you do each day kind of baked into your routine that help you with your mindset that other people could implement?
Yeah, so I started, and this is, again, everything we've talked about is building up to it. This is not something that I started doing day one. But recently, the last 2 or so months, I get up at 4 o'clock and I have my breakfast and I read. And, you know, whether it be financial educational book or a mental, you know, I'm a big fan of Andy Frisella, So one of the books that I've read recently is the book on mental toughness. So the way that I started approaching every day is the first few hours are for me to get myself in a good mental state. So that way the rest of the day, I can focus on helping other people, you know, correct their mental state. Because I do, I don't have a naturally positive outlook in a lot of areas. You know, some people that comes naturally to, I'm not one of those people. So I have, and it's taken a long time. And that's another thing that people should really know is the mental side of it doesn't change overnight, just like the way your weight loss doesn't change overnight.
Yeah.
You know, because like I said, I'm 35. So I've had 35 years of negative programming that I've got to correct. So, you know, the first few hours of the day are really centered where I don't have any distractions. I can kind of focus on me. I can, you know, so I do the reading and then I go to the gym and really push it pretty hard most days, where I get a lot of anger, frustration, or whatever you want to call it. I get a lot of that out of me. And then after that, I'm just more centered. And another thing I do is I write, you know, 8 to 10 affirmations down at least 5 times a day. So, and I've kind of built, again, this is another routine that I built in. It's usually as soon as I get into the office in the morning, and then at 10 o'clock, I write them down again, and I get up and I go walk about a mile. You know, it takes less than 20 minutes. So I get up, I walk around the office, and then at noon, I write them down again, either right after eating lunch or right before. And I do another, so that's my lunch break. Usually I just walk for about 30 minutes. And again at 2, I write my affirmations down again. And then I get up and walk some more. And then at 4 o'clock, I'll usually write them down again. And then sometimes throughout the evening, I've got them saved on a note, my phone, and I'll read them. And the reason that I actually write them down is, for me, putting pencil to paper just helps amplify it. There's a lot of times when I'm reading stuff, I catch myself just reading through it just to read through it, rather than actually reading it to understand it.
Yeah.
So when you're writing it, you're kind of thinking it twice, if that makes sense. So you're saying it to yourself and you're writing it down. But those are just a couple of the things that really has helped me on a day-to-day basis with the mindset change.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people say that, as you said, writing it down just makes it more powerful, just makes it strong. Because as you say, you've got to concentrate on it, and, you know, either writing down or saying things out loud in the mirror to yourself, like saying it to yourself. Like, people think those things sound crazy and a bit woo-woo and whatever, but, you know, these things work because it's ingraining it into your brain, you know. And you said that obviously the mindset thing takes time. Again, which it does to change, but also I think with your attitude and your mindset, is it's a choice that you have to make every single day, isn't it? You know, you every day when you wake up, you have a choice. Like you said, you know, you're not naturally a positive person, but each day you wake up and you make that choice to be positive. And we all have that ability. And I think, again, it's another thing that goes back to society, that I think overall in society, we've become very negative. I think you go back 60, 70 years ago, people that were maybe much worse off, I think, were a lot more positive in general. I think as society, we've become very selfish and self-centered, and we want everything now. And I think we've become quite negative is always our first thought. So it's making that choice every day, isn't it? Like, I'm going to be, you can wake up, doesn't matter how bad your day was yesterday, doesn't matter how bad your day goes today, you can make a choice to be, I'm going to be positive today.
Yeah. So, and I don't know where that, for me, it's just easier to think negative. So that's kind of the default programming, and that may be the reason that there's so much negativity in the world, maybe a lot of people. But I think a lot of it is we're so ungrateful, because we see all the famous people and all the money that they make and everything that they have, and we don't have that. And it's very easy to compare ourselves to them and feel negatively about what we don't have and then be ungrateful for it. And that's actually one of my affirmations that I write down every day is about being grateful for what I do have. Because it is, especially as a driven person, it's very easy to always be wanting the next thing and the next thing, and then feeling like you're not doing enough, or you know, you're behind, or whatever the case may be. But taking that few minutes a day, multiple times a day, of really expressing that gratitude of the accomplishments that I have made is very, you know, that's a very positive mindset. So it kind of builds that, like, yeah, I do have all this stuff that I want to do, but I've done a lot and I've been blessed, very blessed with what I do have. And there's a lot of people that, yeah, they, you know, the calories that I'm consuming in a day's time that I'm grouchy about because, you know, I'm still hungry. There's people in other parts of the world, and even in our own country, that may be more calories than they get in a week's time. And then if you want to take it even further, there's a lot of people that don't wake up every morning.
Yeah.
So just having some gratitude for what you do have, rather than focusing on what you don't have, is also a big mindset shift that I've worked on over the last few months as well.
Yeah, that's spot on. I think gratitude's really important. I do that with my kids. At the end of every day, they have to say something they're grateful for that day. I think it's important to instill that, because like you said earlier, life has, for the majority of us, you know, in developed countries, life's become so easy, hasn't it? And we forget how easy we have it and how bad other people have it. And yeah, I think it really puts you in a positive space if you can be grateful for what you've got, definitely.
For sure.
So, listen, we're running out of time. Before you go, though, if someone's in that position where you were and they know they need to make a change, maybe they're thinking about it, they haven't done it yet, what are some advice or some encouragement that you could give to someone in that position for them to make that change and things they could start doing today?
Yeah, so advice is obviously start doing something. Yeah. You know, like we talked about, double whatever it is amount of steps in. You know, don't go out and have the goal of, oh, I'm going to get 15,000 steps in a day every day, and I'm going to eat 1,500 calories a day. Just start by doing something, moving your body around, and just watching what you, or, you know, like I said, even tracking what you eat.
Yeah.
So, because that's going to be super eye-opening. The second thing would be, and we haven't talked about this yet, is finding a group of people that you can hold yourself accountable to. That's been probably, you know, there's been two main factors in changing my habits and my routines and really my whole life over the last year, is working on my mindset and having accountability in my life, having people that are very driven, that have what I want, and that are willing to help me accomplish my goals. And I think a lot of people, they're embarrassed or scared or nervous or whatever it is to reach out. You know, you see the guy at the gym that's jacked, or, you know, if that's how you want to look, or you see the guy that's lost a bunch of weight, and they're nervous to go up and ask them, you know, like, hey man, how did you do that? That couldn't be further from the truth. My experience has been that especially people that have either went through a transformation themselves or that are super into fitness, whether they're, you know, a fitness coach or they just have a lot of knowledge, they'll share really about anything that they can with you. And the more that you take what they share with you and put it into practice and you start seeing the results, that's the biggest thank you that those people could get. Because then they're like, okay, this person is truly dedicated. He really wants to make a change. And then you start to build that relationship, and it just helps. It kind of like we said, it compounds. They're like, oh, okay, you did that and it worked. So, okay, now I'm going to give you this. Especially for people that aren't, in a financial position to go out and hire, either a fitness coach or mindset coach or whatever. Just find someone around you and changing your environment. And you don't have to be too negative to people that have the same bad habits that you're trying to correct in your life. Just distance yourself from them, because changing your habit, your habitat, changing your environment is crucial to changing your habits. Because if you see people all the time overeating, not exercising, or drinking all the time, or whatever it is, it's just setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, I agree. That's good advice. It's goes back to the, there's the old saying we always bring up that, you're the sum of the five people around you, closest to you. And that's so important that they'll influence you as you will influence them. And so getting those right people around you, as you say, makes a huge difference. So yeah, that's brilliant encouragement for people. Just like you said, make a start. Even if it's small, make a start and try and get those right people around you. And that's going to put you on the right footing to go forwards and to make changes like you did. So thank you so much, first of all, Harvey, for giving us your time and sharing your story. I've really appreciated it. And hopefully you've enjoyed yourself being here.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, thank you to everyone for listening as well. We will see you again next week, and let's get optimal together.